Folks, we have the same attitude in the church today towards sin. Felt need hucksters cater to the world, bringing the world into church and lulling them into a sense of false security before God. Peace, peace, you're okay with God. Those who turn the grace of God into licentiousness, a license to sin, or even worse, the dead denominations who have rejected Christ.
Thanks for joining us for this Monday edition of Equipping the Saints, featuring the Bible teaching of Greg Lundstedt, pastor of Equipping Bible Church in Greer, South Carolina. And Greg, today we begin a new series in the book of Ezekiel. So would you share with our listeners when and where these messages were preached?
Dave, I'd love to. But first of all, I'd just like to share a little bit about what's happening here in upstate South Carolina in light of Hurricane Helene. It's just such a tragedy in our area here. We've had the power out now for 5 days. It's just come back on. We were barely hit by it, but just an hour away in upstate South Carolina, Lake Lure area, there's devastation. And up in North Carolina in the hills, absolute devastation. We need to be praying for those who are in that area, praying for their safety, praying for relief, praying for these families who have lost loved ones, that the God of all comfort will comfort them. And it's a devastating scene. And so with this in mind, we've set up a relief fund on our website. If you click to donate, you can donate, and we'll make sure every dime gets to those in need in upstate South Carolina and North Carolina. And with that in mind, we just want to thank you for your prayers for us. We're doing fine, but there's a lot of people who are hurting and in need, so continue to pray. Okay, with that in mind, we're starting a wonderful series in the book of Ezekiel, and today we're going to begin to see the timing in which this book comes about. So turn to Ezekiel chapter 1, and we begin with verse 1.
Well, thanks, Greg. Now, today's message is one you'll want to share with a friend. Just tell them to visit etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. They'll find today's broadcast as well as a host of other archived broadcasts waiting there for them. Our web address again is simply etsradio.org. Now, let's join Greg for today's message.
Well, you'll probably all agree that false assurances are not good. You probably agree with that. What do I mean? Well, I remember back on the West Coast around October-ish, November, we'd every once in a while get a really nice sunny day, week or so, and there would be people who would go out and go to the mountains. And this would be the end of October or November, and there would then be a nice big snowstorm come in, and we hear about people that get caught up there, people that die, people that are assured that things will be fine because of what they see. But yet, in reality, things are quite different. We've seen that in a physical sphere, but we also see that in a spiritual sphere, where there are those who have false assurances in accordance with their own desires, when their ears tickled, and they are willingly led to destruction, thinking they're going to go to heaven, thinking they're going to be with the Lord. The Lord Jesus confronted those in Capernaum. He confronted those saying, you think you're going to heaven? Well, nope, you're descending to Hades. The reality is false assurances can be eternally deadly. Now, in the Old Testament, we see that more often than not, God's people were under a false assurance. More often than not, they believed that things were right with God because they were, quote unquote, God's people. But in actuality, that wasn't the case because sin had crept in and obedience had been left behind. Prophet after prophet relayed the truth that God was not pleased with Israel, that they needed to repent or be judged. But Israel didn't listen. They killed the prophets and accumulated prophets who would say what they wanted to hear. Peace, peace, you're okay with God. You're his people. God wouldn't do this to you. Folks, we have the same attitude in the church today towards sin. Felt need hucksters cater to the world, bringing the world into church and lulling them into a sense of false security before God. Peace, peace, you're okay with God. Those who turn the grace of God into licentiousness, a license to sin, or even worse, the dead denominations who have rejected Christ. We have their lesbian or gay pastors telling their parishioners that they're good with God as they live in their vile sexual abominations and give hearty approval to others. under the false assurances that because they're in a religion or whatever it might be, they go to church, that they are okay with God, with those false prophets and teachers relaying those false truths. So what's the core problem? Well, again, many, like the Israelites, truly don't know the Lord. There was only a remnant, as we'll see at that time. And those who don't know the Lord are living under a false perception through false prophets that things are okay when they really aren't. Now, as we come to this new study in the book of Ezekiel that we're going to embark on today, I believe we're going to see over the next few months or however long it takes that we're going to see the glory of the Lord and the transcendence of our God. We're going to see our utter sinfulness and God's right to judge. And we're going to be bathed in the hope that will only come through King Jesus Christ. Indeed, in our study, we're going to see the core theme, which is repeated over 60 times. Then you will know that I am the Lord. And that knowledge, as we will see, comes through either salvation or judgment. Everyone's going to know the Lord and know him, but it's going to be through one or the other. Now, Ezekiel has a reputation of being a difficult book, and many who attempt to study it or read it give up after the imagery in chapters 1 through 3. And Ezekiel as a whole has been shut out of the evangelical church, who unfortunately runs to the idol of relevance, whether it's pastors who only preach about marriage, finances, anger, love, prayer, a myriad of topics with valid verses thrown in, and congregations who will listen because they have no endurance for sound doctrine, let alone the study of irrelevant books like Ezekiel. But all scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching. And God uses it all to equip us for every good work. And so we need to be in the word completely. So let's not lean on our own understanding and looking for simplicity or ease in study. Let's do the hard work together in total dependence on the Holy Spirit, who is faithful to reveal the grand truths locked up in this wonderful book. Let us not be like those who want their ears tickled, who want it easy. I've heard at times that people come and they hear the word and go, it's like a fire hose. No, it's not like a fire hose. It's the word coming forth. You're just not used to drinking the truth. The reality is we need to be in the word of God. And when we're in the word of God, then we're going to be blessed as we study through it. And that's my prayer, that we would be blessed. Okay, so turn your Bibles to Ezekiel chapter 1. And we're going to be looking at verses 1 through 3 today. Now, before we get into the actual verse by verse of this, which we will today, I want to lay down some historical context from this book, from Scripture, by the way. There's a lot of historical context out there on the internet, but we want to make sure we get it from Scripture first. We get it from what God says is going on. And indeed, whenever we see dates in Scripture, that means God wants us to know the dates. And when we don't see dates in Scripture, that means God doesn't want us to know the dates. So with that in mind, let's take a look at Ezekiel chapter 1. Now it came about in the 30th year, on the 5th day of the 4th month, while I was by the river Shebar among the exiles, the heavens were opened and I saw visions of God. On the 5th of the month of the 5th year of King Jehoiachin's exile, the word of the Lord came expressly to Ezekiel the priest, son of Buzi, in the land of the Chaldeans by the river Shebar. And there the hand of the Lord came upon him. That's what we're going to start with, because in verses 4 through the end of chapter 1 is this grand vision. And we need to have an understanding of what this book is about before we get to that point. So I want to give you a brief historical context from the Word of God. You might notice on your outlines on the back, there is a outline that says captivity bound. You can follow along. It'd be a good place to take notes here. And within this, for those who are on the internet, you can download this on our same site where we have the live stream. You can click on the sermon outline, and that will be there for you. Okay, so let me go through and share this with you. Scripture reveals back in Genesis that God created the heavens and the earth, and he created Adam and Eve. And he created them in his own image, and they were blessed. But Adam sinned, disobeying God, and listened to the voice of his deceived wife, and thus sin entered into the world, and man lost blessing, and now lives in the context of a cursed world with sin leading to death. But within that in mind, God always had a plan to redeem and restore men, and it would be through Eve's seed, Jesus Christ, that Satan's sin and death would be crushed forever. In Genesis, we see this plan taking shape as God called Abraham, and makes an everlasting covenant with him, revealing the gospel that through his seed or his descendant, singular, all the nations would be blessed. And it's as we follow his descendants, Isaac, then Jacob, renamed Israel, we see the nation of Israel born in his sons. And God sovereignly fulfills his word to Abraham, bringing Jacob and his sons and Joseph's brothers to Egypt. It is there they would be multiplied and then be enslaved and oppressed for 400 years. Now, it's at this point I want to give a timeline of bullet points of specifics that lead up to where we are. In 1445 BC, after 400 years of oppression, we have the exodus of the children of Israel. Then at Sinai, God made a conditional covenant with Israel, giving them the law. Then there were 40 years in the wilderness of unbelief before they died out because of their unbelief. That generation was punished. Then in 1405 BC, on the plains of Moab, Moses restates the law in Deuteronomy. Deuteronomos, namas law, Deutero, second law. It's not the second law, it's just restated, right? It's restated a second time. And in Deuteronomy chapters 28 through 30, we have the covenant blessings and cursings declared. The covenant that Israel made with the Lord was a conditional covenant. If they obeyed, there was blessing. If they disobeyed, there was cursing. Now, Moses makes it clear, as he writes, inspired by the Spirit, Deuteronomy, that if Israel disobeyed, there would be severe discipline and they would be expelled from the land. Now, turn to Deuteronomy 28, because I want to read this for context. We don't have time to read the whole thing, but we're going to read a lot. So turn to Deuteronomy 28. We got a lot of scriptures to read today, and they're wonderful scriptures because they really give us the background. And the background is found in the Word of God, folks. Deuteronomy 28. Let's start with verse 15. Now remember, speaking to Israel, they've made a covenant. We will obey. We'll do all that you said, right? Now they should have realized, man, I can't obey. I need a changed heart. That's what the law would have brought and should have brought about. But they were hardened. They thought they could do so. Side note. Chapter 28, verse 15. But it shall come about if you do not obey the Lord your God to observe, to do all his commandments, his statutes, which I charge you today, that all these curses shall come upon you and overtake you. Blessings and cursings, right? Verse 20. The Lord will send upon you curses, confusion, and rebuke in all you undertake to do until you are destroyed, until you perish quickly on account of the evil of your deeds because you have forsaken me. Now let's go down to verse 36. You can read the rest of it later. The Lord will bring you and your king, whom you shall set over, to a nation which neither of you nor your fathers have known. And there you shall serve other gods, wood and stone. And you shall become a horror, a proverb, and a taunt among all the people where the Lord will drive you. You shall have sons and daughters, but they shall not be yours, for they shall go into captivity. Go to 41, okay? Sorry, I'm going to skip around here. 37, then go up to 41. You shall have sons and daughters, but they shall not be yours, for they shall go into captivity. Now, verse 47, because you did not serve the Lord your God with joy and a glad heart for the abundance of things, therefore you shall serve your enemies, whom the Lord shall send against you, in hunger and thirst and nakedness and in the lack of all things, and he will put an iron yoke on your neck until he has destroyed you. Verse 49, then the Lord will bring a nation against you from afar, from the end of the earth, as an eagle swoops down, a nation whose language you shall not understand, a nation whose fierce countenance, who shall have no respect for the old, nor show favor for the young. And it shall besiege you in all your towns until your high and fortified walls in which you trusted come down throughout your land. And it shall besiege you in all your towns throughout your land in which the Lord your God has given you. 53. Then you shall eat of the offspring of your own body, the flesh of your sons and of your daughters, whom the Lord your God has given you during the siege and the distress by which your enemies shall oppress you. The man who is refined and very delicate among you shall be hostile towards his brother and towards his wife he cherishes and toward the rest of his children who remain. So he will not give even one of them any of the flesh of his children which she shall eat, since he has nothing left to eat during the siege. Remember that siege, okay? Remember that, okay? And the distress in which your enemy shall oppress you in all your towns. The refined and the delicate woman among you would not venture to set the sole of her foot on the ground, for delicateness and refinement shall be hostile towards the husband she cherishes and towards the son and daughter, and towards the afterbirth which issues from between her legs and toward her children whom she bears, for she shall eat them secretly for lack of anything else during the siege and the distress by which your enemy shall oppress you in your towns. And look down at verse 63. And it shall come about that as the Lord delighted over you to prosper you, to multiply you, so the Lord will delight over you to make you perish and destroy you. And you shall be torn from the land from which you are entering to possess. That's some pretty darn severe consequences to disobeying God. And they did agree. We agree. But because of their continuing disobedience, the rallying cry of the pre-exilic, pre-exile prophets, we call them pre-exilic prophets, they would say, repent or you're going to be judged. And unfortunately, Scripture reveals that Israel continued to disobey God over and over and over again, even though the prophets continued to warn of impending judgment. Indeed, after Moses died, Joshua was commissioned by the Lord and led the 45-year conquest of the land. And we see that Israel did not fully obey because they did not drive out the inhabitants of the land completely. The book of Judges reveals that this sin led to an ever spiraling downward trend of sin where everyone did what was right in their own eyes. Now, in approximately 1095 BC, 1 Samuel 8 reveals this sin continues as Israel demands a king and thus rejecting the Lord as their king. And God gives them the desire of their flesh and they get Saul. This begins the kingdom period of 490 years, a period in which David would follow Saul as king, and God would make an everlasting covenant with him. 2 Samuel verse 7, your house and your kingdom shall endure before me forever, and your throne shall be established forever. Now David's son Solomon became king and built a splendid house for the Lord, the temple, Solomon's temple. And yet Solomon sinned and went after many women and followed after their gods, 1 Kings 11. And because of his sin, after he died, the kingdom was divided in 931 BC, north and south, Israel and Judah, 10 tribes in the north, 2 southern tribes, 1 Kings chapter 11, 2 kingdoms. Now, even though the prophets would continue to warn of impending doom because of sin, in 722 BC, according to God's discipline, the northern kingdom was taken into captivity by the Assyrians, 2 Kings 17. Now, although the kingdom of Judah remained, they also continued in sin from king to king. Now, a year before the reforms, there was just a very little bit of reforms here and there. And like, for instance, I'll talk about in a second, Josiah. Now, a year before the reforms of Josiah, in 623 BC, Ezekiel is born. A year before Josiah's reforms. Then in 622 BC, Josiah becomes king and has some short-lived reforms after finding the Word of God. By the way, if you're a believer and you're in the Word of God, you're going to be reformed. Not reformed theology, but reformed, right? You're going to be reformed. You're going to be changed. And yet in 609 BC, Josiah is killed trying to foolishly stop Pharaoh Necho. We see that in 2 Kings 23:29, 2 Chronicles 35, 22-24. And then in 605 BC, Pharaoh Necho was defeated at Carchemish by Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, thus solidifying the power of Babylon as the world's new empire at that time, Jeremiah 46:2. And at this point, Nebuchadnezzar, ultimately under the sovereign hand of God, addresses his Jewish problem. And in 605 BC, he lays siege of Jerusalem. This is the first siege. And he takes the first set of captives to Babylon, 2 Kings 24, 1-7, Daniel 1, 1-4. And among those captives are Daniel and his three friends. Yet Ezekiel is still in Jerusalem, okay? Then in 597 BC, Jerusalem is under siege again. Second siege. 2 Kings 24 records that 10,000 Jews were taken captive to Babylon. In this deportation, Ezekiel is taken, and we'll see that through the dates in chapter 1, verse 2 today. Then 5 years later, from this captivity, we'll see today in our verses also, 593, Ezekiel begins his ministry that the Lord brings to him at 30 years of age. We'll see that in our verses today. Now, in 588, remember this is, again, 5 years later, okay? From 588 B.C. to 586, for 18 months, and this is important for Ezekiel, we have the third and final siege of Jerusalem, that in which what we read prophesied in Deuteronomy about the famine and all those horrible things. During that time, those things are happening, okay? Third and final siege, 18 months, 2 Kings 25, 1 and 2, Ezekiel 24, verse 2. Then after this 18-month siege, it ends in Jerusalem being destroyed, the temple torn down, the city walls destroyed, and then the final exile of the people of Judah and Jerusalem to Babylon. Ezekiel 32, 21, 2 Kings 25, 1 through 21. The siege ending in the destruction of Jerusalem, the temple, city walls, and the final exile. So three deportations to Babylon, one in 605 with Daniel, one in 597 with Ezekiel, and one in 586 when Jerusalem is destroyed. Now this book of Ezekiel is centered around the third and final 18-month siege. You gotta know that. You gotta understand that or you will misinterpret this book. It is centered around this third and final 18-month siege with the ultimate destruction of Jerusalem. Indeed, the first 24 chapters are oracles leading up to the siege. 25 through 32 are basically prophecies during that 18-month siege. And then in 33 through 48 reveal what will happen after the fall of Jerusalem. That's really the timeline, okay? Now, in light of the broad context, what about the immediate context? What do we see biblically speaking? Here, we're going to see that Ezekiel is prophesying to a captive people. He is prophesying concerning the sins of those who are yet to be judged and taken captive in Judah. And it's apparent that although there's been two sieges and deportations, that those remaining in Judah before the third siege are still continuing grievous sin, saying peace and safety. They're still thinking they're going to be fine after two sieges. So the first set of this is up to the siege, and then the second set of prophecies during the siege, and then 33 and afterwards. They're continuing to listen to the evil voices of false assurance. Talked about that earlier. Indeed, Ezekiel's contemporary in Jerusalem, Jeremiah, reveals this mindset. He reveals what was affecting them in Jerusalem, but it was affecting the captives in Babylon. They were hearing this too. And they were buying into this peace and safety mindset. Turn to Jeremiah 28. And you're going to see a little prophet battle here. You're going to see Jeremiah with Hananiah. You're going to see what happens here. And it'll give us a little idea of what was being said and what was being spoken. And thus what the prophecies that Ezekiel is sharing is against. Okay? Jeremiah 28. Now it came about in the same year, in the beginning of the reign of Zedekiah,
you've just tuned in, you're listening to Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt. And Greg's message today is from his series in the book of Ezekiel. Now, you can hear today's message again by visiting our website, etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. CDs of today's message or other messages are available at our website as well. And as a part of the ministry of Equipping the Saints, all our audio resources are available at no cost to you. Thanks to the Lord's provision through the faithful support of friends of this broadcast. To order your complimentary CD, call us toll-free, 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Greg, today we looked at the timing for the book of Ezekiel.
Yes, we did, Dave, and probably the most important thing to remember is that the book of Ezekiel is centered around the third and final 18-month siege of Jerusalem, which ended in the destruction of Jerusalem, the temple, the walls, and the exile of those who would survive. So with that in mind, please make plans to join us in our next edition of Equipping the Saints as we continue our look at this fabulous book of Ezekiel.
As we close today's broadcast, here's an important message from our teacher, Greg Lundstedt.
Hi, this is Greg Lundstedt, and it is my great privilege to study and teach the Word of God and to share it with you each day on this radio station. And as you listen, I want to ask you this question. Has equipping the saints been a blessing to you? If so, would you prayerfully consider coming alongside us financially? You see, your financial partnership with us is so appreciated. So on behalf of the team here at Equipping the Saints, we want to praise our Lord and thank you for your prayers and financial support.
Well, thanks, Greg. Now, to partner with us, call us toll-free 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. Or if you prefer to send a gift online, our web address is etsradio.org. Well, we hope you make plans to join us again right here for another edition of Equipping the Saints.